Welcome to the month of June. We are here to explore the captivating theme of individuality with our esteemed guest, David Lee. David is a seasoned coach specializing in guiding high-impact individuals and couples through the complexities of personal relationships. Through his trauma-informed coaching approach, David helps his clients navigate and heal deep-seated wounds in their masculine and feminine energies. By addressing these unprocessed traumas, his clients can unlock their potential for fulfilling and meaningful relationships. Join us for an engaging conversation where we delve into the intricacies of individuality and its profound impact on our relationships and personal growth. Let us extend a warm welcome to David Lee as we embark on this enlightening journey together. Welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you so much. I enjoyed hearing that introduction. It reminds me of what I do.
Well, absolutely. I think sometimes we wear a lot of hats, and especially as an individual, how does each hat also, you know, represent us, the way we see each other, and the way others see each other? I'd be really interested on like your take on that.
Yeah, it's really I was honored to be asked to speak about individuality in the context of our work and my life and my marriage and with kids and the whole thing, because it is the cornerstone of our coaching practice. So we work with individuals. We do not work with couples. We work with married couples, but individually. So everything remains interdependent. And so who you are as an individual is the only thing that matters when we are beginning to heal, when we're beginning to understand, when we're beginning to fully know who we are so we can begin that healing journey. So our individuality in our healing journey is paramount. Far too often, though, the cultural narrative historically says, well, I'm going to go heal a marriage. I want to fix my relationship. In reality, there is really no such thing as that. You don't heal or fix a marriage. You only begin to heal the self. So individuality is, again, the cornerstone of what we do and how we help people around the world.
That is awesome, because I do think that we're always like, oh, we bring our own trauma to, we all have different backgrounds as individuals, and then we bring it together. And then I've also learned, you know, those trauma loops can get, you know, all into, I'm working a lot right now on emotional loops and healing my own ways of doing things, especially as a parent. I am a mom of two. I am a wife of one. I'm a dog mom.
Important distinction. I think it's important. Yes,
it is. Yeah. And I think that when you bring that to the table, and then also having your own business, and what do you bring to the table? And, you know, being able to heal yourself is really hard. I think that sometimes we just like, oh, it will go away, or we sweep it under the table, or we don't even know it's there. How do you dig deep into finding out what that real trauma is to heal the individual?
Yeah. Well, it is a process. And as we say, it is a lifelong process. In fact, I was working with an individual this morning, one of my male clients, and he just has started working with me. And true to his masculine nature, his masculine energetic nature, he was stating to me, in essence, how long is this going to take? How many check marks do I need? How do I schedule this? I want to make sure that heal these wounds as quick as possible. Well, it makes absolute sense, because masculine energy comes forward in getting things done. However, the healing journey is a feminine energetic, which, by the way, is why it's so hard for men to intrinsically and naturally want to heal, grow, and transform. This is why we hear from wives all the time. I want to grow. I want to heal. And yet my husband doesn't want to. Well, it's no wonder, because it's not intrinsically part of who we are. We have to tap into our feminine energy, our healing feminine energy, as men, to connect with that healing nature. So to answer your question, what we say is we need to begin to identify and validate those root causes of the trauma. And as we identify in our coaching practice, trauma only occurs in childhood. So we are not traumatized as adults. Those are echoes. So when we feel triggered, when we feel something come up somatically within our body, when we get angry, when we get depressed, when we get sad, when we become resentful and bitter, those are triggers of echoes of past trauma from childhood that is still left to be processed through the somatic body, through the nervous system. So we have to identify, we help our clients begin to identify those original incidences. And we leverage many healing modalities within this work, primarily what we know as internal family systems, developed by Dr. Richard Schwartz. And he identifies that we are a multiplicity of parts. We are not broken. We are not effed up. We are not a hot mess. There are parts of us that have been wounded in childhood that still reside within our nervous system that need to be addressed. And so we help our clients begin to identify those original incidences, those original moments. What's also important to note, Debbie, is that trauma is not what happens to you. It is the energy that hasn't been released. It's not the event. Trauma is not an event. It is actually the energy that is left in the body, in the nervous system, that hasn't been allowed to be processed. What's important to note is in childhood, if trauma occurs and the child does not have a support system to help him or her release that trauma, then it will remain in the adult's body forevermore until it begins to be identified, validated, and the healing process begins.
So when the healing process begins, and especially with the trauma being done in childhood, and let's just say it is a parent that, and they don't know better because it was probably their own trauma they bring. I feel like it's like compound trauma that we're dealing with right now. We're like a pinnacle of compound trauma. And then as being a mom, I don't want to compound even more. I don't want my kids to be taking on my trauma. Mm-hmm. But how do you, once you do identify that, and let's just say it is a parent and they are still with us and they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to identify or talk about it. How can you get past it on your own? Mm-hmm. How do you move past?
Yeah, such a great question. Such a great question. And one we receive every single day is, how do I get over this? How do I get past it? And the reality is you don't. You don't do either of those. You don't get past something because time doesn't heal wounds. Work heals wounds. And here is perhaps the most powerful thing that I will say today is you do not need anyone to help you process your trauma other than the healing professionals that help guide you that way. In other words, you don't need to forgive anyone and you don't need to be forgiven. So what you say is true. When we experience trauma in childhood, and we experience it with, that's an important word, with someone else, primarily a caregiver, mom, dad, grandpa, teacher, friend, stranger, they are also wounded, to your point. They also have unprocessed trauma. And so, as the saying goes, I didn't cut them, but they bled all over me. Right? So we have an opportunity to then individually, here's that word again, individually heal our trauma with the support and the care and the love and the nurturance of a healing professional. But we do not need them, whoever they are, to participate in our healing. That gives us an enormous amount of freedom. We don't need to go back to the person and expect them to apologize, because quite frankly, rarely does that happen. And even if there is an apology, it's not necessary for you to heal. You must begin to understand what it means for you to heal what has occurred, regardless of whether the other person is involved or not.
Is it true, though, that personality traits do manifest sometimes out of trauma? I mean, I do know, or is like some people like, it's your zodiac sign. It's like there's so many people out there talking about how you become you. I mean, we're unique with our DNA. We are individually us. But when we are born, we are not born with the trauma. We're not born with, you know, what we live today. And I noticed that I'm, and maybe it is circumstance, like I'm a middle child. I'm the only girl. I always wanted to be accepted. I always wanted acknowledgement. And today, like even today, if I send out 200 emails on behalf of my company and nobody gets back to me, it's hurtful. It's like, why didn't anybody respond? Why doesn't anybody see me? And I know a lot of people are feeling like this right now because we're in this overwhelm. That's another trigger for me. I get overwhelmed. I get anxious. I get angry. And I know that I need to point that towards my emotion that I want to train, which is really important. But when you are dealing with these internal individual issues and the outside world doesn't know, how do you kind of internalize what you're being shown to others. Does that make sense? Like you are, I feel like I'm showing a different side than what I think I am based on how it's affecting me.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're referring to are masks, as we identify. They're masks. And we further identify those as the parts of us, as I aforementioned, the parts of us that are coming forward that are ruling our day. So the wounded parts of us are coming in the form of somatic triggers: anger, frustration, disappointment, regret, rejection. Oh my goodness, nobody responded to my email. What does this say about me? Right? That's where it goes into the self-shame. Well, that comes from that unprocessed trauma from once upon a time when you, Debbie, weren't seen, known, understood as a little girl. And so now it matters. If somebody sees you, then you have value. The reality is that's untrue. If you see you, that's the only recognition that matters. But this is so incredibly challenging because we also live in a world that says vanity metrics are what matters. How many likes? How many loves? How many email returns? How many opens? How many clicks? How many sales are we getting? Who's paying attention to me? That is a form of codependency, which is a feminine energetic wounding. Notice I said feminine energy, not female. So it's a feminine energetic wounding. In our practice, in my wife and I's coaching practice, we identify trauma and behaviors of the unprocessed trauma through two lenses. It's either masculine or it's feminine. So control, for example, jealousy, overworking, all masculine wounding.
Guilty.
You're not alone, my friend. You are absolutely not alone. Passivity, people-pleasing, codependency. Those are feminine energetic woundings. And so what we do with our clients is we help them identify all of the woundings, and we're not going to identify those in the first 10 minutes as much as our clients really want that to happen. Okay, come fix me. Which, by the way, that is a trauma response housed in a masculine wounding, right? Is hurry up, let's get this done because I got stuff to do. Mm-hmm. that's the reason why they're in the place that they are now, right? So it's super important to understand we carry around masks all day long to shield us from getting hurt again. So a mask may look like, well, this is what I wear at work. This is what I wear with my husband. This is what I wear with my children. This is what I wear when I'm on stage. This is what I wear. The reality is that we're living incredibly duplicitous lives. And it takes an enormous amount of energy for us to navigate those lives. And in our work with clients, we begin to help them release those masks that are propped up by the wounded parts of them that have yet to be healed.
How do you know who you are? I think that was the biggest question that I had in this chapter of the book that I wrote was like, we are individual, but how do I know truly who I am? Because I've got these masks and I've got this trauma. Like how will I know who I was meant to be? Because mm-hmm. that is like where we all want to get to, because you can see it every day. Mm-hmm. You know, but by the people that you live with, the people you even talk to, I bet there's people that you're like, they have to do the work, but you can identify some stuff about them that they may not even see. So how do you truly even know when you get there? Like, is there like an aha moment? Do you see it like physically on your client's face? Like, mm-hmm. oh, that's who I was meant to be. How does like that pinnacle happen?
Yeah. We help our clients through a number of different activities, different ways in which to identify purpose. Because as one of our mentors, Mastin Kipp, says, the opposite of trauma is purpose. So when an individual begins to identify their purpose, they begin to identify who their individuality is all about. Then they can become confident in their sovereignty, become confident in their autonomy, and it no longer matters what other people think. So I believe that everybody knows and feels their individuality as a child. Absolutely. They can feel it. However, what happens is trauma comes into the picture. And those layers of trauma begin to silence the voice and the bodies of our individuality. and we begin to then succumb to the masses. We begin to succumb to what other people think. And we begin to follow in the footpaths of those who have influence over us. And we lose ourselves. We lose our individuality. So we take them through. I'm going to give you one of the activities that we do. Three questions to ask yourself, Debbie. So the audience who's listening. First question is we ask clients who first begin to work with us this. What do you love to do? What do you love to do? And we invite them to write everything down. No holds barred. There's no editing. No one else is going to see this unless I see it. They invite me as their coach to see it. But what do you love to do? What turns your crank? What do you really love to do? Do you love to vacuum? Write it down. Do you love to look at swans on a Saturday morning? Write it down. So that's the first question. What do you love to do? The second question is, what are you really good at? What are you really good at? And I employ the client to invite other trusted individuals into that question. Because often, if we don't know who we are, it's really difficult. Or we've told ourselves because of trauma, because of the response, the trauma response that says, no, I'm not good at that. In reality, everybody around you is saying, hello, you're really good at singing. Oh, no, you really are. So we answer that question. What are you really good at? And it could be, I love to sing in the shower. Or I am good at singing in the shower. I am good at mowing the lawn. I am good at listening to people. I am really good at helping people figure out travel plans. Great, write it down. No holds barred, no editing. And the third question is this. What do people of the world need? What do people of the world need according to you and only you? So the second question is the only one that I want them to employ others to participate and collaborate. The first two is them and only them. And when they come back with those lists, we then begin to circle the commonalities between each of those three lists. And more often than not, they begin to have expressions in many ways like you are having right now. It's like, eyes go up. Interesting. Because my guess is, Debbie, you're processing that right now. Like, oh, what do I love to do? What am I good at? What do the people of the world need? So this is an activity that my first coach challenged me to do, and it helped formulate the genesis of our coaching practice now. What do I love? I love to coach people. I love to coach people. I always have in various capacities in different careers through my life. I just didn't know that this is what it would eventually become. What do I love to do? What am I good at? Coaching. What does the world need? Coaching. Oh, ding, ding. There's my purpose. And now, obviously there's, or maybe not so obviously, there are deeper intricacies within that. But what I bring to the table, what I bring to the world is my individuality, my uniqueness. Or as my beautiful, gorgeous, brilliant partner and wife says, David, you're weird. Uh-huh. Takes one to know one, lovely, because she is too. In fact, early on in our relationship, we identified that we were both aliens. Now, I would like to say that the whole world is full of aliens, meaning every single person on the planet has a unique DNA stamp that says you are absolutely unique. You are absolutely you. You are absolutely an individual. In essence, what we help our clients is to begin to identify that individuality, to release them into who they were designed and crafted to become. And far too often, it's the trauma that's preventing them from becoming who they want to be.
I find in the work environment, or even the United States in particular, I watch a lot of comedy shows. I love comedy. And it was like, I can't remember who it was, but they went to France. And they would just be like, what do you do? And he's like, oh, you know, I sit on a bench and blah, blah, blah. But what you say that to any American, it's what do you do? It's what your job title is. Mm-hmm. And we are so focused a lot of the time on what we do for a living than what we do as a person that mm-hmm. really does get in the way. And I've been really trying to think about that is instead of saying, what do I do, is who am I? Mm-hmm. You know, and that really did when that changed. And really thinking about that made a world of difference. And mm-hmm. I'm wondering to you, do you see that as well? I mean, that people identify with their work more than they identify with like the being that they are?
Absolutely. Without question. Especially men. So when we meet, when strangers meet, when two men meet, what's the first question we ask each other? Hey, buddy, what do you do? 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 Because we have identified who we are as what we do, to your point. Why? Because it's easy. Because it's easy. Because we can talk about that out there. We can talk about what we do, what brings in money, because it's going to spark a conversation about something. But if we began conversations with, hey, tell me about your marriage. Excuse me? What? Nunya? Too personal. We're not going there yet. We haven't earned the relational capacity to be able to have that conversation yet. So too often, both men and women, everyone identifies with how they perform. Once again, that goes back to a metrics that says, what have you done today to bring to the world whatever it may be? Was it an idea? Was it a bag of money? Was it you brought something to a stranger on the street? What was it that you did? Who are you is connected to what you do. And to your point, really what we help our clients begin to identify is who they are as a person, how they are bringing impact to the world. That is, begins with themselves. Again, begins with the individual to know what his or her impact is on themselves. And that's where healing trauma comes in, to begin to identify those wounds. And then the second tier of that, the graduation of that, is to know, wow, what kind of impact can I bring to the world? How can I change the world? We hear this often, right? I just want to change the world. What does that mean? It means to bring your unique individuality to the world to make an impact. So that when we leave this planet, whatever you believe, that we've left it in a better place. But we cannot do that if we continue to feed the trauma monster right. And begin to say, and continue to say, well, I'm just going to do this because it feels right, because it's always the way it's been. And yet I go home, and in the darkness and the silence, I'm miserable. This is not who I want to be. This is not really the job I want. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be this. But you know what? It pays the bills. It makes a few people happy. It keeps my kids secure. So I'm just going to keep doing this. I mean, we see this within relationships that, oh, I'm just going to stay in this marriage because I don't want to hurt my children, because there's a financial security attached, because it's just good enough. It's not that bad. He's a good man. She's a good woman. It's not as bad as those other people, right? And within the context of relationships, we work very, very deeply with folks because they have settled for a job, for a career, for a spouse, for so much of their lives because of so much narrative around them, which is all echoes of trauma. So it matters who you spend time with because they're going to be a reflection of how you're living.
And how do you kind of get that? I think that if we all healed ourselves, it would be really weird. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. It's like if everyone walked around, it would be wonderful instead of being so negative. I think that we are just on the other side of things that, like I said, like the trauma has compounded so much now. And then we've got social media. We've got the look at me's and we got the I want and I've got the regret. But if we were all able to identify and heal ourselves, how would that actually change the world, change the news, change the way we came to each other? And is it possible for everyone to really heal and transform themselves to be better? I mean, is that possible? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. We don't know the answer on that.
Sure.
But if you think about it right now, we're in a very negative state, you know, all over the world. It's negativity. It's wars. And obviously all of that comes from some trauma, you know, and it's all trauma. But when you really think about how we can individually change the world, like you said, most people are like, it's not really up to me. Or who do I think I am? You know, like I don't deserve that. But right. I do think that everyone has a chance to heal and everyone has the opportunity to be who they are. But they need to identify that. And when you get clients, is it they're lost or they're searching? Like what phase are they at when they finally get to someone like you to help them?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to address what you were speaking to as far as how the world looks today, you know, and what we're, quote, dealing with. And from our perspective, Debbie, I'm going to offer a different perspective, that today is no different than it was 60 years ago or 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. People are people, as Depeche Mode once said. Depeche Mode. There you go. Wow, that came out of nowhere. Of course it did. Energetically, it was supposed to come forward. In fact, I'm a history buff, Debbie. I love history. I study history, love it. It's one of my hobbies. And I know for a fact that in the year of 1968, in this particular country, in the United States, was the worst year ever. Socially, racially, gender, politically, everything. So for those of you that are like, what happened in 1968? I invite you to go check out Google. Because the world was burning to the ground in this country, far more than it is today. So it's important to have perspective, and that one day is no different than the other. When people ask me, so what are you doing about Gaza? What are you doing about war? What are you doing about famine? What are you doing about the political landscape? What are you doing about social injustice? This is what I say every single time. I am employing my specific individuality, my gifts, my skills, to help people heal one person at a time. I fully believe that. To answer your first question, absolutely. Absolutely, I believe that every single person on this planet, all 8 billion of us, can heal our trauma. Now, will that happen in my lifetime? I don't know. But it's the reason why I get up every single morning, because I fully believe that without question. Because if I don't, Debbie, then I don't get out of bed. If I don't fully believe that everybody can heal, then they will. And you're right. I think about the landscape of what the world would look like if everybody healed all the time. And it would look very, very different. Imagine if everyone was in their purpose. Everyone was in their purpose, doing and being what they want and crave and desire, as opposed to going to a job that they don't like, as opposed to settling in a marriage that they know they need to leave. Being in a particular relationship, whatever it is, going, why do I continue to put up with this? That they say, no more. I'm worthy of more than that. Yeah, the world would look dramatically different. And I welcome it. I'd love to see it. Bring it on.
Then you don't have any work to do. No.
Exactly. I'd find another purpose. I'd be okay with that. Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
It is very interesting that, you know, when I think about where I was a few years ago and even just a few months ago, and I really was, you know, I'm like, I'm starting this company. This is my purpose. This is what I should be doing. I want to inspire people, but I was still living within fear. Mm-hmm. Was still living within the anxiety. I mean, I was put on anxiety medicine. I was like literally begging a doctor, I need help. Like I'm not feeling okay. I was going to therapy. It just wasn't working. Mm-hmm. But then once I finally just decided, I was like, it's because I made a promise to myself and I didn't fulfill this promise. And once I really realized and honed in on what that was, it was like everything changed. And there's days where you're just like, Tuesday, for example, it was so funny. We went to our class and the entire class was just, it was raining. And everyone's just like, I almost didn't come. Like in everyone, it was just like this feeling of, you know, it's hard. Like being an entrepreneur, being a person starting, being a person who wants to change their industry, being so like they believe that they can do it. And I think that there's a lot of people that they don't walk into work just say, I just want to do what this is, but they truly want to be there. They truly want to succeed. And it's finding sometimes your true believers that believe with you. And it's finding that tribe in a sense. Like, do you ever hear from people that you work with that that they kind of had to like get rid of friends, like they had to shed the ones that were they were in that emotional loop and bringing that trauma every time because it was a trigger for them and they found their new tribe. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone plays a purpose, but do you hear that a lot? Like they were like renewed and found new people.
Mm-hmm. It's a necessary part of the journey that we witness firsthand and we help handhold them through that because it is a death. Yeah. It is a season of grief to lose people. and we redirect and provide some loving correction in the mentality of that, is that when you are moving forward in your healing journey, individuals around you will begin to self-select themselves out of your life. They will make the choice. They will make the choice, because it will no longer feel energetically aligned for them to continue a relationship with you. And yes, there may be some resentment and bitterness and anger and frustration and confusion and sadness. And everyone must make the decision that their future, their individuality, always supersedes relationships that no longer serve them.
I've got just one more. I don't want to keep you too long. I know that when I started, I was like, I'll stop when I feel like, but I would love to talk about this all day. But one of the things that I have found and have seen, especially creating a business in the pandemic because of like a response to it in a sense, is we started finding ourselves, unfortunately, in a time that the world shut down. Do you feel that part of what we're going through in the world with staffing issues and other things economically are because people started to kind of find themselves and then had to stop, and they never finished the journey, or some of them did. And this is why everyone's like, oh, nobody wants to work anymore. It's like, nobody wants to work at a fast food restaurant for $8 an hour and be yelled at all day. Like, it's not that nobody wants to work. It's nobody wants to be treated in the way where we were able to build ourselves up. It was lonely. It sucked. But in those times, people were able to be like, I'm making sourdough. I'm being able to spend time with my kids. I started a business. You know, did you find a lot of people were coming to you after or during this time just to be like, I really want to. I had a taste of it, and now I really want to find who I am.
Yeah, we certainly did see some of that. We were incredibly effective and very, very blessed our first year of business. I started the coaching practice on June 2nd, 2020. And to be very, very transparent, Debbie, it had absolutely nothing to do with the pandemic. Nothing. I knew it was supposed to start. When I left my corporate job, I was asked by many people, confused people, saying, what are you doing? Why are you leaving a secure corporate sales position to go out on your own in uncertainty, in the time of uncertainty? My general answer to that, Debbie, was, I have no choice. I have to. Why? Because of my individuality. Because I felt that my purpose was bigger than what I thought I needed in certainty and security. And so folks came. They certainly did. And what I've also come to understand is that this particular work is recession proof too. Why? Because trauma is trauma is trauma. Regardless of what's happening around the world, we've got enough going on internally. Yeah. And in fact, it's a trauma response to pay attention to the news. It's a trauma response to gossip about the political landscape. It's a trauma response to worry about what's going on overseas or what's going on with the neighbor down the street that you hear the gossip. That's a trauma response. Rather, people come to us when they've gained enough emotional leverage to say, no more. I cannot go forward anymore in the same way that I have been. It's time to do something. And that's when they come to us.
That's incredible. And I love the fact that, you know, you left a corporate job because you like, and people said the same thing to me. I was told by Sarah, go, it's time to go back to work. I'm like, I am. This is the work I have been. This is my brainchild. This is what I love to do. It is harder. The hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And I've birthed two children, but I know that I'm on my right path. And there's, you know, like I said, there's days that you just get knocked down, you get up again, and you get something else. And you just have to realize and not feed into those triggers and those trauma responses, because it's really hard not to, but you have to kind of just keep going on your own. And I loved this conversation. Thank you so much. And for your time. And we will make sure that people are able to get in touch with you if they want to discuss things with you. We'll make sure that we're on our Facebook group page where if people have questions. And this is such a great topic because I think that I just see so many people struggling right now on their identity and who they are. And, you know, it's not what someone tells you you are. It's the purpose that you bring to that table. So I appreciate your time today and thank you for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, your coaching, your passion with everyone. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. It's been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to doing it again if I'm so invited. Thank you so much.
Thank you.